We're joined by so many great people. I want to thank every single one of them. Seth, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Anytime, brother.
And really appreciate all the work that you do production-wise. All these liners, these bumpers, all these great-sounding commercials. You're doing amazing work, man. Keep it up.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll have more morning show for you next Monday. Be sure to join us then for more mornings here at WFHR. Right. Well, you know, Beth, you say it a lot better, and you got to work tonight anyway. So hey, why don't you go ahead and do it?
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema is shaking up politics in Washington. She's given up her membership in the Democratic Party.
Registering as an independent and showing up to work with the title of independent is a reflection of who I've always been. And it's a reflection of who Arizona is.
I'm Stephen Portnoy. Senator Sinema's declaration of independence sends a signal to Arizona voters as she nears a bid to keep her seat in 2024, but it's not expected to change the Democrats' majority in the Senate next year. The White House points to Sinema's votes for the president's legislative wins to date, and the press secretary says, quote, "We have every reason to expect that we will continue to work successfully with her."
Her teammates are excited to be reunited with Brittany Griner after her return to the U.S. today. WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert tells CBS Mornings they'll give her some room first.
She needs time and space, spend time with family, being evaluated, obviously, for her physical and mental well-being, and that's happening over the next day or so.
Griner landed in Texas this morning following a high-stakes prisoner swap with Russia for convicted arms dealer Victor Boot. Vladimir Putin says further exchanges with the U.S. are possible, raising again hopes for American Paul Whelan, who's been imprisoned in Russia since 2018. His sister Elizabeth tells CBS,
"We are very pleased to see Brittany come home. Any wrongfully detained American that comes back from overseas is a win for America."
State Department officials say they were not given a choice between Griner and Whelan. They say it was a take-it-or-leave-it offer. Federal regulators have cleared the way for younger kids to get updated COVID vaccines. CBS's Jim Crisula has the details.
The Food and Drug Administration's move comes amid an uptick in COVID-19 cases nationwide at a time when children's hospitals are already packed with toddlers suffering from other respiratory illnesses, including the flu. The FDA has now authorized Omicron-targeted booster shots starting at age 6 months.
A big hint for Twitter employees to dedicate themselves to working around the clock. Forbes senior editor Catherine Schwab tells CBS,
"Full queen-size beds, mattresses, the whole thing were brought into Twitter HQ over last weekend, and employees were not informed that this was happening."
Officials in San Francisco investigating, and Variety reporting, ABC has pulled its Backstreet Boys holiday special after Nick Carter was accused of raping a 17-year-old girl with autism and cerebral palsy during the band's tour in 2001. He denies the allegations. The Dow is down 108 points. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can.
Attention all business owners who rent or lease space, including storage space. Stop wasting your money paying someone else for your space. You can now save a ton of money and own your own building with the incredible end-of-the-year sale prices from General Steel. That's right, start saving money every month on renting space from others. Just call 888-74-STEEL to see how General Steel can help you save money. Our 50-year structural warranty buildings are custom designed for your needs and save you a ton of money. Call 888-74-STEEL.
Take it from a successful entrepreneur. If you need to expand or start a new business, you need General Steel.
Great team and the competitive pricing is the reason I went with General Steel.
Call 888-74-STEEL now, and you can get any of our popular quick construction structures, including a 40 by 60-foot building or a 50 by 100 clear span building at end-of-the-year savings. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-747-8335. 888-74-STEEL.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
High temperatures reach up to 33 this afternoon under overcast skies with a chance of snow. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows around 28. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 34. About an inch of snow today through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 30.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine for this December 9th, 2022. It is 10:05 on the clock. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in River Kings coach Paul Peckman with along with some community events. We're looking forward to talking with Coach Peckman a little bit later. And right now, in studio, we have with us some of our favorite people, the Historic Point boss. We have Mike Hittner with us. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning, James, and everybody in Radio Land.
And Tom Bremer. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Both of you guys are some of my favorite people to talk to. You tell me I get to talk history. I'm all in, let alone local history. It always pulls me in. You both know that very well by now. We've been doing this a while together. I have to say, though, Tom, you always come in here dressing well. I love that shirt, Tom.
You do, huh?
Tom's got a classic shirt on, the Charlie Brown Christmas t-shirt. That's one of my favorite things of all time. I love that shirt. That's a great shirt, Tom.
I've got 8 or 10 different Christmas shirts that my grandkids and kids have given me over the years, and I just wear them for this month and
right on.
Have a good time.
It's kind of nice when Tom walks around, how many kids think he's actually Santa Claus.
Sure,
so he carries candy canes in his pocket during the month of December.
Do you really? Hand him a kid a candy cane and wink at him, and they look at you like, what just happened?
And
I walk away.
right. Good on you, man. That's great. Good on you. We appreciate you guys being here today. First, before we dive into Heritage Holidays, how's everybody doing? Mike, how have you been?
Good. I did a little jump off of the float for Nakusa, but I survived that by the grace of God.
Thankfully.
That's all that survived, because you took one fall.
Thankfully, you're all right. That's good to hear. Tom, how have you been?
Just fine.
Good.
He didn't fall off.
No. I stood and watched. We did it so fast I couldn't catch him.
I'm glad you're both all right. And I appreciate the time from you guys. And we encourage everybody to join the citizens of Point Boss for Heritage Holidays. This is coming up Saturday, December 17th from 1 to 5. Let's tell the audience what this is. Mike, do you want to start off and letting us know what this is?
All the buildings, I think, will be open. I think that we kind of cleared that out at a citizens meeting. For a while, we didn't know if the barn would be open, but I think Skip's going to be there, who usually handles the barn, because Johan, our man that fills in all over, is having cataract surgery on Monday, and so he doesn't think he can make it. So so we'll be open on all buildings, and the school will have some projects for kids to, you know, color ornaments that they can hang on the tree. I gave them the idea this year to have participants at our Thanksgiving brought just a stick branch with some things, and we all had to write something we're thankful for. So I suggested
that.
It might be a nice thing for Christmas, actually, because it takes a little of that commercialization away. And what we're really trying to do is to have everybody take a step back and realize what the reason for the season, and just enjoy more a little bit of a laid-back Christmas. And so this is why we always put it just before Christmas. It's like the week before and everything. And I know there's a lot of hoopla out there, but it's time to settle back and relax and just enjoy the season for what is, and also enjoy your family and friends.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that's one of the positives about getting older is perspective. A lot of perspective. That was a loaded sentence right there, wasn't it?
It's you have
the opportunity to, the more you're removed from the kind of like commercialization and some of that stuff of Christmas, you really get to focus on. I think one of the things that hits you as a young adult is family and the idea of that, and getting to see family. And as you get older and you lose relatives, and that, you know, it starts to weigh, you know, not weigh on you, but you start to notice, okay, this is
and I think as we get older, James and Tom, that family even becomes more important. If that's hard to believe sometimes, it's even more important than it was 20 or 40 years ago.
Yep. I think as that grows, you start to expand that even more into community and into your own personal history, and maybe your family's history or your community's history. And again, that's why I think the work you guys are doing over there is so important, but also so fun. It's a great way of not only seeing how much we are connected to the past and how much we have in common with that, but how far we've come and the work that's been done, the trailblazing to for us to get here. Sure. We focus on big events often. I think we could be just as well served focusing on all these other things too.
Sure, and I think it's the day-to-day things that really are important.
Yeah,
we have to have these things, these little highlights that we do once a month or every other month during the year, but it's the day-to-day, you know, Tom and I and, you know, six or so other people going down and working on Mondays. I mean, we got actually family right there in itself. I mean, it's camaraderie. Tom and I have been doing it for 30-plus years. Some of the other ones are newer ones, but they're just as important to us as anybody else. So.
Yeah, many of them are. They have skills that we don't have.
Since we're talking about it, and you kind of set me up a little bit there, sir, I've been wanting to ask you guys this for a while, so we don't have to take too much time on this, but I did want to ask, and I am going somewhere with this.
Sure.
How did you guys get involved with the Historic Point Boss? Mike, I'll start with you. When and how did you? Can you remember that far back?
Yeah, sure, I remember. I was fairly newly married, and there was talk about this historic house, and reading about it in the paper, Dave Engel had written a lot of articles on it, and there was a group that was formed, organized to save it. And so they said they had a meeting, I think it was either August or September of 1985. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going to go to the meeting and, you know, see what it's about and everything. And I think that was my getting my feet wet a little bit and getting into it. And then they had a board meeting that, I think it was in January after that, selected the board of directors. And I was on the board with, you know, seven or eight other individuals. And the old saying is, and it's kind of a joke around the house, Tom knows about this sort of thing, because I told my wife that she asked, you know, how much time is it going to take? And I said, oh, probably one or two nights a month. The whole secret was I was only home one or two days a month. Of course, I work all day, and then, of course, that first year we're trying to promote it and get people interested in it and all that sort of thing. So Brian McDermott, who was the president at that time, and myself and others went out and talked to different service organizations and retired teachers, and Tom's got a whole story about retired teachers and that sort of thing. And so that's where I got in it. And so it's been 37 years or whatever it is. So
that's really cool.
Tom, your story. I know.
Yeah.
Well, the first year that to recruit people, you would bought a raffle ticket for $5.
Okay.
And it got you the first year's charter membership and then the raffle of whatever. I don't remember what it was. And one of the local home builders who used to eat in my place all the time, he sold me a ticket at sort of the end of the year. I mean, it was kind of getting to the end of it.
Yeah.
So I didn't win anything on the raffle, but that's quite normal. But there was a thing about the first annual meeting.
Mm.
And my wife suggested we go, and she's regretted that ever since. But we went to the first meeting, and I said, gee, that sounds like, you know, kind of fun. I've always liked history, and that's a whole other story. But she says, well, they were signing up for different things. Well, I'm no builder, as we've proved for the last number of years, not for lack of trying. But I said, well, I'll sign up on the site committee, because that kind of, you know. And so Kenny Ron signed me up, and we went to do some stuff, and then in end of 86, just before Christmas, somebody called up and says, we want you to run for the board of directors. And I'm going, seriously, you know? Well, 12 or 15 years later, I got off the board, but that was 15 years ago too, and I've been doing it ever since.
I appreciate those guys. I appreciate those stories. And part of the reason I ask is just out of curiosity. I've wanted to know those kind of things for a while now since we've been talking. But also, we are always encouraging people to be a part of things over at the Historic Point Boss. While we hope and want you guys around for a couple of hundred years here, we want to make sure that the Historic Point Boss is able to take care of generation after generation and continue the great work that you guys have started here and done. So we always want to encourage people. This is how it could start for you. You know, know, just as simple as some of the things that these guys have done here.
And by no means does anybody have to be in it 35 or 37 years. But
oh, no.
Just do what you'd like to do and do it for as long as you want to do it.
Well, Tom, you mentioned certain skill sets that certain volunteers and certain people have that they bring to the table. If you are an individual like that and you bring that skill set there, even if it's just that one thing that you're doing, that's huge. Oh, that goes a long ways for us over there.
What they carry in between their ears is what's important. I mean, Mike and I and our friend Carl built the chicken coop. And just to get, he's laughing, just to get the four corners square, so we had it took us three Monday nights to get it right. Well, they laid out the pavilion in a couple of hours, because the guy knows how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, we were holding poles and trying to get.
It was just trial and error, is what it was.
I mean, we knew what it was supposed to be like. Yeah. We just didn't know how to get it there. We got it there, and we had a great time doing it. But what a waste of time! I mean, you know, if we'd only known.
We encourage you, if you are interested in being a part of things over at the Historic Point Boss, or supporting the work that they do, volunteering, encourage you to go to their website, historicpointboss.com. You can also email them, historicpointboss@gmail.com. We'll get that information out there before we wrap up for today, too. So thank you for doing that, guys. Sure. I appreciate you indulging me on that. Just want to make sure to get that out there whenever we can.
And we try to at least... During part of our talk, James has always talked a little bit about volunteering, so that was a good segue.
The Heritage Holly Days, one of your fun events that you guys pull off. Mike, you were talking to us about this a little bit beforehand. It sounds like it's one of those ones, no matter what age range you are, you are going to be able to enjoy this event.
Right, and the beauty of it is, like we've talked several times before, Tom and I, when we've been here, it's one of those events where we're not overly busy. So if you want to talk about something, you want to talk about volunteering, what you can do, or how can I get involved, or if you want to know more of the history of Tom's Trader's Cabin or the house or something, you can get more of that then, because sometimes when we're busy, we just don't have time for it. But all the buildings will be open, and they've got, like I was saying, in the school, they'll be doing ornaments and hanging. They're going to have punch and cookies and the house. Tom, tell them about the cookie recipe that you came up with.
Well, I found it was an internet... where the gal had a recipe from like the early 1800s, and then there was a story that Abraham Lincoln told during the Lincoln-Douglas debates about his mom making gingerbread. Now, she had a special way of making them, and we haven't quite worked that out yet. So they're going to be regular little gingerbread men that get cut out. Our gal tried them, and just couldn't get them to work.
Still, that's pretty cool,
and
though.
This will be available in the house with some apple cider and that sort of thing. And a good segue into that is Abraham Lincoln. Tom doesn't even know this. It'll be the 160th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address, and we're having a Lincoln reenactor from St. Clair, Minnesota, is coming for our summer festival on June 10th and 11th. And he'll recite the Gettysburg Address, and he'll have a question and answer session with citizens and people, and he'll go that tea for two and that sort of thing. So we'll utilize him all day long. We'll have some Civil War reenactors there, and he'll hold a review and that sort of thing. So that's kind of fun, and we've got all this bunting for the house that we haven't used in 10 years. We'll deck out the house, and so it'll be kind of a fun time. And we just kind of dreamt this up, and I got contact with him last year, but it wasn't right. It was late, close to the festival and everything, through Steve Drosty.
Okay.
And I made contact, and I've kept contact with him, and now we've got the contract and everything.
That's cool.
How great is that? Yes. A little breaking news here.
And it was a little segue. I couldn't hardly resist it.
Didn't heard about that yet, but that's going to be really fun.
Yeah. Wow, is that great. That is a really cool thing. Especially so many of these people that do that work are so good at it. There's acting, and then there's doing work like that.
He's a teacher, and he's been doing it for years.
That's going to be really cool. Yeah. It's also just cool to just hear about the anniversary of the Gettysburg Address, too. Right. That is really interesting. Right. Wow.
I think it was in November 19th of 1863.
See, this is the kind of thing that I I love championing you guys over there at the Historic Point Bosphore, because there's different organizations that celebrate history. There's different ways to take in history. But you guys, it's living, breathing history. And you're constantly looking at ways to improve that or to bring more to the table. Really admire that work. It'd be just perfectly understandable from the community and everybody else if you guys kept doing what you've always done. Mm-hmm. But you're always looking at ways to add to what you do. I really admire that. I hope that other people are inspired by that and want to be involved with the Historic Point Boss, because I know I am.
But. And we almost always don't have to reinvent the wheel, but we have to keep changing things up. You can't do the same thing and expect people to keep coming back. So we got to do a little here and there to just liven it up.
And, yep. Yeah. And it's fun for us then, too.
Good to hear. And it should be. But I will say, Mike, not everybody approaches stuff like that way. In two very different fields, but coming from where I did in radio doing classic rock, they just kept playing the same stuff.
Right.
They didn't worry about reinventing or doing different things. I admire that you guys do that.
Well, and the problem sometimes with, especially the ones that are on a disc or something like that, is if you start to listen to it, you hear the same probably 100 or 150 songs in just different rotations, but you don't hear the flip side of the album or anything. You only hear, the number one single thing. And after a while, it's like, well, I don't know if I'm interested in this anymore.
Describe 9 years of my life. Yes. Let alone the 15 to 20 I did listening to my dad's music growing up and then playing it for a living. Yes, I hear you, bro. I really do admire that you guys constantly are, I don't want to say trying to grow or evolve things, but just seeing where you can add two things.
Right.
I think that's really cool.
Well, and the only thing we know in life is constant is change, and we have to be willing to change.
And sometimes we'll do something, and then we won't do it for several years, a certain facet of whatever. And then our president just brought it up to me the other day. I ran into her on the street. Will you be willing to work? What do you think about this, bringing this back for our summer festival? I'm going, yeah, why not? Mm-hmm. We haven't done it since before the pandemic, so let's try it. I mean, what can we do?
So
it'll be, you can recycle stuff.
Yes.
In fact, that's what history is recycling.
Very well done, Tom. Very well done. Nicely done. We touched on the things for the kids to be able to do, making decorations and some of that stuff. Are there other things for people to take in? I imagine there's going to be some foods down there to sample, possibly.
Well, the cookies in the school, and then also gingerbread men in the house. Tom is doing some cooking, but it's not for public consumption, because of the rules and laws that we have.
And also that the fur traders, there was great competition between several of the companies, the big companies, and there was quite the rivalry to get everybody to bring furs to you and not to your competition. Huh. But for Christmas and New Year's, that holiday season, they kind of set their differences aside and would get together. And so we're doing a representation of, we made this dinner and we're going to be holding it until our competition, our friends come and show up. And what we're going to do is feed it to our volunteers. They take a break in the afternoon, bring your bowl and come on over, and you can, besides, it gets them out to visit with us.
True.
We're kind of at the far end of things.
Yes.
And it gets a little lonely if there's not a lot of people around.
What Tom is doing in replicating with competition is also what happened in the Civil War. Mm. There'd be a little bit of a truce, and the guys would go back and forth across the line.
Oh,
That was very common. Now, in modern wars, you never hear about that, but there may have been some of that going on. But certainly in those days, it was very common because it might have been brother on each side of the line.
I was just there's oftentimes, Smith against Smith. It was it was that kind of thing. That's an interesting note to add to this, too. Mm. This is part of what I love about talking. I could talk to you guys for hours.
Kind of, we don't know where it's going.
Yeah.
It's not scripted, folks.
No. I couldn't write this good. Are you kidding me? What I also enjoy about this event, too, is while, there are traditions and there are things that this time of year is all about tradition and stuff, it's so much fun to kind of look back a little bit and see some of these things that we're still doing or how some things have grown over the years. I imagine You mentioned the kids' decorations. You guys will probably have. Do you have old school decorations throughout the you know?
Well, we got a few in the house. I think that a few of our members bring. Traditionally, the Christmas tree was just coming on at that time.
Yeah.
In the schoolhouse, which is interpreted about 1925, was very, very common. But in the 1840s and 50s, it was just coming out, I believe, out of England because of some German intermarriage with the English crown.
I just heard a really interesting one the other day, a gal that does research in this stuff, that actually there were Christmas trees in the U.S. in the 1700s, but it was German immigrant families, like in Pennsylvania and that, where it was a very close community that brought their traditions from the old country. It wasn't general. It was very, but there are some documentation of Christmas trees before 1800, but not in general use.
And certainly the Wakeleys were English, so probably that tradition came more from the crown intermarriage and that German princess or whatever coming over and bringing that Christmas tree tradition with them.
But the Wakeleys were involved in the Revolution. Robert's ancestors.
Wow.
So, you know.
That
was a little before Victoria's time. But, yeah, it's kind of picked up about that time that we're interpreting. So.
I've been very honest and very clear with the audience. I am a homer. I love our country. I love talking about America and our history. It's all speaks to part of why I feel that way is we have something that no other country in the universe has. Nobody else is. We are such a melting pot and we have such a cool collected history that is combined from this and this and this and it all comes together to where we are here. And now we've got, everybody's got a Christmas tree and those kind of things. Like it, just so cool that and you, so much of this you get pieces of and you get to hear the story of going into Historic Point Bus and taking in some of this time and these events.
Yeah, our Christmas trees are very much understated. We cut
makes Charlie Brown look good.
Yeah, we cut white pines on the site and well, you know, they're kind of scraggly, but that's what they would have done. They didn't have any place to go shopping for Christmas trees and maybe didn't even have an image of what a really wonderful Christmas tree, quote unquote, looks like, but every Christmas tree is wonderful in its own sense.
And this is a not only a fun event, it is a very affordable event. We always like to give you guys a shout out from doing this.
We'll tell you too, James, that we're not going to have anybody collecting money because weather's not the greatest. So we're going to have donation boxes out. So if you'd like to put a donation, all the buildings will have a donation box to stick it in there. And thank you very much and Merry Christmas.
And I really appreciate that, Mike. That is really cool you guys to do. I didn't know you were doing that. That is really cool. I have to say, of all the organizations, of all the people that could do this, nonprofits continue to do these things. You guys do these things. Of the people that could afford it the least are doing it. And I really admire that. I hope that that brings out the giving in people and encourages them even more to give to the Historic Point Boss and to keep history alive, help you guys keep doing the work that you're doing. If you can't give dollars and cents, if you have time, if you can work a hammer and nail, if you can do certain things, reach out to the Historic Point Boss and see if there's an opportunity for you to volunteer. Or maybe help out with some of the projects around there.
Sure.
And you can do that again going to their fantastic website, historicpointboss.com. It's all one word. And again, great job with the site. They're doing a really good job
Thank
with
you.
That. Historicpointboss.com. And you can, of course, email them historicpointboss@gmail.com. That's the information I got here,
sure,
Mike. Is
sure.
that good? Okay.
And so the Heritage Holidays on Saturday, a week from this Saturday, the 17th of December, and it's from 1 to 5 p.m.
Yep.
A little bit of a snafu on what the paper said the other day and also what was on the website originally, but Chris Alwarden, shouts out to him that he's done a great job on the website, and thank him very much for his work.
Yeah, I pointed out that there was something wrong within an hour. It was
Got
fixed.
It done. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's paying attention.
Yes.
I didn't mind the old site at all, but this is so much more interactive, and it does such a great job of, like, if you are wondering something, it's right there. You can find it right away and everything. And it helps, again, us celebrate what you guys are doing over there and hopefully bring in more and more people to the Historic Point Boss. I appreciate the time from you guys as always. Again, take in Heritage Holidays. Citizens Point Bus encourage you to celebrate the holidays with them this Saturday, Saturday, December 17th from 1 to 5 over at the Historic Point Bus. Mike, Tom, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you, James and WFHR.
We'll get out of here. We'll talk to you guys again real soon. Okay. And we'll come back with some more Morning Magazine for you right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hi, this is J.R. Siewert of Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, and I'd like to invite you to tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up, and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So please tune in. We look forward to hearing from you and even taking your questions during the show.
That's Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday morning at 10:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you or go to WisCovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High temperatures reach up to 33 this afternoon under overcast skies with a chance of snow. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight, lows around 28. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, snow likely, highs level off around 34. About an inch of snow today through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 30.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine, part two for this December 9th, 2022, to 10:31 on the clock. And you have your host, James Jay, here, and I am joined by head coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Paul Peckman, with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you been?
Doing all right.
Yeah? It's been a long time since we just hung out on Monday, we were talking. But I'll have you in every day if I can, man. I love talking with you. Love talking hockey. We'll mention this again before we wrap up today, but I do want to remind the audience that our River Kings are back in town this Saturday. They are going to be taking on Hudson. It's going to be a great game. River Kings versus Hudson. Our pregame will start about 6:59 on our sister station, Wisc Country, 105.5 WIRR. I encourage you to check out that game. And if you can't get to the rink, we got the game for you right there. But man, get to the rink if you can. Let us fill up the Southwood County Rec Center. Show them what home ice advantage is. I want Hudson to leave here shaken. I want them to be like, oh man, I don't want to play there again. Let's let them know what home ice advantage is. Coach, before we dive into the team, I want to talk about your goalies. I want to talk about how it's been going so far this part of the season. Our River Kings are in fourth place. That's exciting. So I want to get to some of those things. If you don't mind, and I know for the audience, you guys may not know this. I grew up with hockey guys. My whole first 20 year or 10, 15 years in this planet was surrounded around hockey people. Hockey guys don't like talking about themselves. That's Midwesterners right. Really don't, but especially hockey people. Paul, I'm going to make you do it just for a little bit here, and then we'll talk about hockey. We'll get back to the team. But you have such an interesting backstory to me. I think that hockey people in general do. Growing up, my mom used to always tell me, I'm not just Jewish. I am Russian Gypsy Jew. I had to put it that way. It was of real importance to our family about the gypsy part of things. And then I grew up, my mom marries a hockey player who are gypsies. Hockey players are just, you're just traveling all over. It'd be one of those things like if you had a suitcase, it's got all that from here and here and here. Where did you start, though?
I started in Long Island, New York. Grew up there and
Played my youth years there, and then I had a bad accident playing hockey when I was 13, I believe. Broke my thigh in three places, so I was out for the entire year. And while I was in rehab, I told my father I wanted to go away to prep school. So I wound up going to Lake Placid to a prep school right after the 1980 Olympics.
Oh, my gosh.
So I played there for 2 years.
Wow.
And then it was time to move on, and I wound up going to a prep school in Connecticut. I played there for 3 years. And then that's how I got recruited to play at UConn. So
nice.
That's my travels during my playing career. You know, I mean, during the youth years, I've gone to junior A camps in Canada and small things like that, and traveled around the country a little bit. But for the most part, that's my path.
Do you have a position set? You played a lot.
I was a center.
Nice.
I played
nice.
Center okay. my entire life. Too small to play anywhere else. So. Put me in the middle.
My dad can relate to that. My dad was a left winger, but they always tried to put him at center because he just wasn't he was good at face-offs, but he wasn't one of the biggest guys out there or anything.
Right.
So you get your start out east. As you mentioned your playing career and that, what got you to want to flip that into coaching?
Well, it's funny, actually. You know, I after my college years, I played in the Industrial League for about 9 years, and I was almost 30 when I retired, and it was time to, we relocated to Florida with the family. My father was a machinist, had a big shop there, and he retired, and the whole family went there, and while I was playing, I was in sales, and so my father kind of brought me down there, and we went through that, you know, manufacturing business for about 10 years, and the crash of 2008 happened.
Oh, okay.
Right? So lost everything. And then that's when I picked up the map and I told my wife, where do you want to go? And she said, well, Carolina was nice. And so we went to Carolina. Within a week of being in Carolina, I get a phone call. A buddy of mine had sent in my name and contact information to the junior program. It turns out that I know the GM there. I actually played against him when I was in prep school in Connecticut.
Wow.
And in my first year in college, he was one of the college coaches that we played against. So he had this whole book on me and knew everything about me.
Yeah.
He says, you're coming with me. And that's how it started. And that was over 15 years ago.
That is so dang cool, man. Yeah. That is really interesting.
He's my mentor, and he's still a good friend of mine today. So
that's good to hear.
I talk to him a lot.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, man. That is so cool. I've never heard a story that wasn't interesting when it comes to hockey players. That's one of the more interesting ones I've heard. Because so often, like even thinking about Coach Quarters that was here before and some other coaches I have talked to over the years in other sports, it often is, well, my playing career ends. I love this sport. I want to stay a part of it. So naturally, I'm going to go into coaching. It seems more like you were kind of like picked, like somebody drafted you to be a coach almost.
Definitely was not looking for
it.
You know, I was at that age where I was more about, I was investing in real estate. You know, I had homes, I had this, I had that. And then with the crash of 2008, lost a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of made you change gears a little bit. And it kind of fell in my lap. And this is just what I was, it was coming full circle.
Yeah.
So.
Now, you're coaching in other places. How did you hear about the opportunity here in Rapids? And what was attractive to you about the job?
Well, I coached in this league for about 10 years, right, on the East Coast, right? So we had played in showcases every now and then. And when this used to be the Minnesota Junior Hockey League. So when it folded, it came to our league. So nobody knew the talent level because... On the East Coast, it was the premier and the elite divisions, right?
Yeah.
So they came in as the elite and to see where they were at. And I actually wound up playing against some of these teams in the showcase in Boston. So that's where I first got an idea of who they were, right?
Yeah.
And then what happened was years later, I just got done coaching college for 3 years. And I wanted to get back to juniors. And I actually wanted to put a team in Charleston, West Virginia. Right. I've been working on it for 8 months. I had the rink, had everything set up, designed, new locker room. The commissioner of the league wouldn't let me because there wasn't an existing owner. Turns out I had my mentor called John Schwartz, who's the owner of the River Kings.
Oh.
Right. I got in touch with John. We talked. He put in a good word to the commissioner. Still wouldn't let me.
Huh.
And then John had mentioned, hey, there's an opportunity here.
Oh, right on.
And that's how it happened.
I'm sorry for West Virginia. We're very happy for Wisconsin Rapids. I'm very selfishly very, very happy. Although that is rough, especially the amount of time. It sounds like you put a lot of energy and time into that project.
It was something I wanted to do. You know, it was time for me to I wanted to build my own program, right? I know what I wanted to do and how to go about it, and it was the right fit. There's only three rinks in the state, right? So they were starving for hockey, and it's a big neutral site for college teams.
Yes.
So they pack them in. They have no problem putting 2,000 people in the seats.
Yeah.
So it was ideal. Everything would have been, and that's where I would have went until this came. And when the opportunity came up, it took me maybe about 5 minutes because I knew about the team. I knew about the community, the support, and all that stuff. And I just looked at my wife and I said, well, I guess I'm going to Wisconsin. That's how it happened. Yeah.
We're going to take a break in a second and come back and focus on the team. Before that, though, you mentioned that you've gotten this in your head now. I have an idea. I have an identity that I want to create here with a team. You take in this team, and in the first year, it's pretty hard to kind of, you know, bring in that completely, just start from day one with your vision, if you will. How have you been able to incorporate some of that in this first year? And looking ahead, do you feel confident you're going to be able to really make that happen?
Yeah, I think our, I want our identity on the ice to be a certain way and transfer into the community, right? Mm. So we're hardworking, we're very structured, right? With a team with speed. And again, you know, we've talked about this before, but it's the things that we talk about in the locker room about who we are and you know, we preach, we give more than we get.
Yeah.
That kind of mentality. And we take that to the community and we do the things that we do, and we're going to do more, and we're going to constantly be involved. And I want people to know that, you know, we're not just hanging out at the rink all day. That's not who we are. That's not what I want. And that's not the way I raise my kids. So I want these guys, the identity is that we're all in all the time, right? And that's the mentality that we're going. So far, so good.
I think on this level, any of the major sports have a similar thing with this. You hear it a lot with MLB player or major baseball players. You know, they build families because they're, you know, they play with these guys a lot in certain collective times. And hockey players, it's a whole other level because so often, not to say that they're not doing this with baseball players, but you know, every once in a while you have some players from maybe the Dominican or Mexico or another country coming over. It's always that way with hockey. You're always bringing and talent from not just another state, another country. So you really do have to have this kind of family mentality and this connection. And it's I'll say this, all the successful programs do this, where the way you are off the ice, very, you know, it bleeds into on the ice and vice versa. And that character that you have off the ice falling into and on the ice as well. And I think you are building that. I know you're building that. I know that the community feels that. I know that we've already, even in the what we've gotten to have for a season so far, we've already seen that, this is a coach's team. Okay. Especially, I have to come back to this. My first interaction with you and the team, Steph and I come down there to do some interviews, and you couldn't have been nicer to us and treated us great and everything. I was so taken back. I know you haven't been around these guys that much. Like, hey, we're doing interviews, 2x2s. And immediately, everybody's in line, getting ready. They're still talking and everything. It wasn't like, you know, everybody went silent and just got in line. It wasn't military-like necessarily, but it was pretty darn close to that. And the order with that, the way we were able to do that, it may not seem like a big deal to maybe people out there, but as a hockey kid, what I saw is, these guys are ready. Okay, I need my second line. I need where are my second defensemen? Where are they? You know, when you're calling on them in game time, they're ready to go. They're listening. They're engaged. Right. And that's so important in hockey. Just seeing that already, I was like, oh, this is going to be a fun season. And it really has been. And we're going to get into the season when we come back. We'll take a really quick commercial break. And then we'll be back with Coach Peckman right here on Morning Magazine on WFHR.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it. I asked if he was okay.
taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join our team in the fight against cancer at V.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with a chance for snow. Daytime highs approaching 33. East winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 28. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Snow likely. Daytime highs approaching 34. About an inch of snow today through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 30.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. A big thank you to our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center doing such a great job. We are here on Morning Magazine. We're going to take you right to the top of the hour with Wisconsin Rapids River Kings head GM and coach Paul Peckman. And always appreciate the time, sir. Thanks again for being in with us.
Absolutely.
I mean, you should get hazard pay putting up with me twice in one in 1 week. It's not fair. So I do want to put a little bit of the focus on the team for a second. And as somebody who has... always admired certain positions in sports. And while I never played goalie, I had a couple friends growing up that were goalies. And you know this probably better than I do. My dad really is the one that brought this home to me. In order to be a goalie, you have to be a different animal. There's just a different type of person. It is a goalie. And the goalies that we've had this season, I mean, just a step above. Like the animal that they have been bringing to the ice is a different character. And so much so that a big shout out to goalie Bora.
Yildirim,
thank you. For being the USPHL's premier Midwest West Division goalie of the week. Mm-hmm. And this isn't the first time this has happened. We've had another goalie. Who was a goalie of the week, I believe, too.
Lucas Bryan. Yeah.
Yes. Lucas, can we talk about the goalies for a second?
Sure.
What has stood out to you about these guys this season that's, made you want to recruit them, but also why you think that they have been performing this well this season?
Well, I think their work ethic is very, very exciting to watch. I think Bohr is so mechanical. He's so driven, you know. He's the Czech Republic, right? Yeah, he's got that mentality.
Yeah.
He's got to be perfect, and that kid works nonstop on his game, as does Lucas. I mean, Lucas is, to me is, I mean, he's college ready, right? I mean, this kid is he's going to be a great find for a school. And he's got plenty of them that are interested in it. So it's just his choice at this point. So they're very motivated in different ways. They're very quiet, focused kind of kids, and they're sound and they're smooth. And you don't have to worry, right? With either one of them in there.
Yeah.
Bora's starting to catch. He's starting to relax a little bit more. Lucas is the veteran that just comes in and just swallows everything up, right? So it gives you that little bit of breath of fresh air. You don't have to worry about that. Bohr is getting there now. He's got a couple of big wins under his belt, and he's starting to accumulate some good numbers. So I'm proud of him.
That's so cool to hear. I got a lot of musicians friends, and one of the things that I've noticed that the best bands, they got a great drummer. Maybe a great singer, you know, lead guitar player, all these things, but every great band that I can think of has that great drummer, that consistency, that, you know, John Bonham, if you will, that guy that keeps the rhythm, but also keeps the mood, keeps the tempo.
Right.
And oftentimes, not every team maybe, but in a lot of hockey teams, especially on this level, how the goalie is and that mood that they have, that temperament that they have, bleeds into the rest of the team. Is that the case with the River Kings?
No question. We are very comfortable in playing the style that we play because you have good goalies.
Mm.
Okay, and we also have Ian Tum that's right there. He's just the younger of the three of them, and yeah, he's just as good. So
I'm glad he got to bring him up.
It gives us the comfort knowing that if we're down by a goal or two, we're okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not going to get out of hand. We still got plenty of time to come back, and you know you can trust these guys.
Do they use the same techniques, or do they both have like a similar, like a butterfly technique, or do they?
Somewhat. You know, okay. Lucas is more of a he's positionally he's so sound that it almost looks like he's not even trying. Right? Yeah, he's so smooth. And everything just kind of comes to him, and he swallows it up. Boris is a little more down, probably a little more in a butterfly.
Okay.
And he's got to settle down, right, and take notes from Lucas to get to that level, but he's getting there. And that's the stuff we're talking about. Sometimes he crouches down a little bit low, plays smaller, right? You always talk about goalies playing bigger, right? You want him to play bigger. And that was the conversation we had in our meeting this week, is I want him to start playing bigger. And I mean, he's 5-2 right now. He's got great numbers, 0.921 save percent. Lucas is over 0.95, which is fourth in the league. I mean, these guys are doing a tremendous job. And it allows us, listen, we give up a lot of shots because of the structure that we have.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it because a lot of them, the shots are from the outside. And I don't have to worry about these guys. They got it covered. And I know that. So we're in a good spot.
And when those shots miss, that's where your good defenseman and the puck handling, a good forward comes into play. Let's go to the defenseman next and how that group has been coming together, because that's a really sound group you got there too.
Yeah. Well, Kyle Cupolo is our horse. I mean, he's a guy that plays 35 minutes plus. I mean, one game against the Squatch, he played 44 minutes.
Man.
I mean, it's unheard, and he was sick. So he's just... he's the guy that plays a lot. He's very smart. He's the energized bunny. I mean, this kid don't stop. So in practice, during the games, whatever, he's just constant going. Very smart, very committed. Johnny Leppard's our veteran back there, and he's got 4 years of experience under his belt. So he knows how to get in, get out of traffic, and move the puck and help us go north, right? I mean, we want to get down the ice quickly. So he's our leader. He's a great job back there. And the rest of the guys are younger. I mean, they're 04s, which are 18-year-olds, right?
Okay.
So a couple of guys are starting to step up. James Dubel, Braden Medved, Matisse Mayville, all these guys are starting to groom, starting to elevate their game. We just brought in, you're talking about bringing in players from all over the world. We brought in another defenseman, Lucas Whitehead from Canada. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. I didn't play the disclaimer earlier. We'd like you to turn your phones off with it silent.
Yeah, sorry.
No, no worries.
So Lucas Whitehead is in, just joined us. Played last weekend, did a great job, and fit right in. And you talk about the family issue. I mean, these guys are, you know, they just gel right away. And hockey's universal.
Yep.
Right? So...
the rest of the team, we're looking at forward centers. Where how has that come together, and how is the chemistry with the different lines and you know, moving people around and everything? How's that been working throughout this early season?
Well, I think it's well. I mean, we have a group of guys that kind of clicked at the beginning, and again, you know, we talked about this the other day about certain guys. You know, if they're hurt, if they're sick, and you got to move it around. And the way that I teach these guys and the way I run my lineup is simply because that's the way it is in college, right? So they have to get used to, listen, I can only play with that guy. No, it doesn't work like that. You've got to be able to know your job, play your position well, and be productive, right? So no matter who you're playing with, you know that they're going to be there in a certain spot, right? If a certain situation, they're going to be there no matter who it is.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Do your job and you'll have the support. So that's, I move guys around all the time because I don't want them getting too comfortable so that they can't play with other guys, because we have two power play units. We have three penalty killing units. So there's a constant, I can go you and you, go.
Yeah.
And they know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that gives them the experience come playoff time.
I really think, and again, just not at all trying to act like I know anything, but growing up in hockey and watching hockey, to me, the greatest coaches have never said, well, this is set. This my lineup is set. This is the way it's going to be. Every good coach I've seen is willing to, even when things are going good, to change things up for the, if anything, for chemistry's sake. You just never know. You get into the playoff situation or you get into a power play situation and you got this guy injured who you've been counting on all season and these other guys haven't worked together all season. You wouldn't want that. So it makes sense to do it that way. I just feel like that's a smart way of handling it. It builds chemistry through the whole team as opposed to line one, line two, line three, that kind of thing.
Well, there's no question. You're absolutely right. And like this weekend we're going through it because Tobias Falkheid, who's one of our big top scorers, is in Norway right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, somebody's got to take a spot on the power play. Yeah. Somebody's got to take a spot, right? So you got to move guys around. And it also, it keeps everybody fresh and their psyche still involved. Because if they think they're always on the fourth line, then they're going to play like that in practice.
Right.
And they're never going to. So if you're moving them around, there is no fourth line here. We have four lines that can contribute and play with anybody in the league. So, and everybody knows that.
Yeah.
So now they're all worried about when they get off the bus, who's going to sit this game, right? Because they're all working hard, and I got them all involved in different lines all week long.
That's not just insightful and intelligent, man. I think that's really like really cool for the players too. If I'm a parent or if I'm one of those kids, I want to play for somebody like that. That's the kind of coach I want to play for. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice part of this too, recruiting wise, scouting wise. That's interesting. And I'm glad you brought up how we lose kids from time to time too. As we've talked about this with about our Rafters and other teams too. It's such a different thing that you have to deal with on this level. I don't know if I got these kids all year long. I don't know if all season long or not. So I got to make do with what I have. And there's no complaining or no sympathy or anything like that. This is the way it is. But at the same time, it's admirable. I admire the work that gets done, not just by you, but everybody coming together to make this happen. Your staff, all these kids, their host families, all these people coming together to entertain our community, to show us how great hockey can be. And to celebrate the game, to help build the game. Well, build the game up and down the river, really. I want to touch on the schedule real quick. And, of course, we've mentioned this before. You guys are home tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Glad to have you back in town. That's really good. You'll be taking on Hudson. That game will kick off about 7. Mm-hmm. Puck will drop about 7. Our pregame coverage will start over on our sister station about 6:59 or so. Join us over there if you can't make it to the Southwood County Rec Center, though we encourage you to do that. Looking at the schedule the rest of the season here, team is in fourth place. I'm sure he feels good, and at the same time, you want more. What are your expectations for the rest of the season?
I expect us to make a move here soon. Mm-hmm. I think we're, you know, last night the Dan Kay Show, which is the they do all the media for the league.
Yeah, shout out to Dan, and they do a great job.
And they do a power ranking. So last night they ranked us 18th. Out of the top 20.
Okay.
So out of 72 teams. So not bad.
No.
And part of that was stating that he feels or they feel that we're a playoff team that's being built. And I like where we're at. We've beaten everybody in our division with the exception of Isanti, who we let that one get away and we got them 3 games in a row here. So
yeah. Looking forward to that series.
That'll change. But so I feel real good. It's the 2 showcases that we got coming up here. So we're playing teams from other divisions. You don't know anything about them. So we got to make sure we do our homework and watch a lot of video. And I'm happy with coming out with splits. You know, if we go 2-2 in those showcases, it's a good weekend for us.
Yeah.
And then come home and take care of business. Right? So we do that. We have to be in the top 4 to get at least home ice for the first round. We got to be in the top 2 to get both rounds home ice advantage.
Yeah.
And that's what we're shooting for here.
Top excellent. And not only attainable, I think you guys are going to do it. I'm backing you. I got all the confidence in the world in this team. I feel like it's such a tired phrase, but sometimes it's just true. Guys are getting hot at the right time. Right. The chemistry is building at the right time. These the what you are been training these guys and the system you have, you could see they're getting it. You could see that they're guys that have been getting it from day one, but there's other kids that it's really like coming full circle now. It's really becoming to come together. You're seeing that these guys are not just only the chemistry is there, you're seeing them have fun. Like it's one of the most underrated things in sports. Are the players having a good time? Do they enjoy playing together? Do they look forward to coming to the rink? Right. It may not seem like a big deal to some, but at this level especially, that means the world. And it shows on the ice, just like the other things you were touching on about, you know, off the ice, on the ice, that stuff bleeding together and being the same kind of person and everything. You're seeing that come together on the ice. You can tell these guys enjoy playing together. They're pulling for each other. They're brothers. That shows on the ice, and it's so important in not just in sports, but in life. These are things. Statistically, not every one of these kids is going to end up in the NHL, but they're all going to go on and have lives. They're all going to go on and have families and friends and everything. These are lessons. These are things that they will take to that.
Absolutely. No question.
Could talk to you for hours, man. I always appreciate the time, Coach. Thanks so much for everything you're doing in the community here, you and that team, that staff. Keep up the great work. We're going to be rooting for you all season long and looking forward to having you join us on Playmakers again real soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Also want to send a big thank you to our friends at the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau, setting this interview up and giving us an opportunity to talk to Coach and for me to talk more hockey. really appreciate them doing that. Got great events going on all season long. Our Southwood County Historical Museum has their Christmas Tree Walk, Friday from 5 to 8 and Saturday 12 to 4. Miracle on 34th Street at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, premiering tonight at 7, and they also got a show tomorrow at 7 and more coming up. So many great things in our community. Encourage you to take in. And, of course, your River Kings taking on the Hudson Havoc tomorrow at the Southwood County Rec Center at 7 o'clock. The puck will drop. Be there. And if you can't, be